Now, we've been talking a lot about yesterday's by-elections and what we can learn from them, whether they will actually change anything. We are joined on the line now by Fine Gael's Minister for Social Protection, Regina Doherty. Minister, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime. Before we talk about the performance of any of your specific candidates, why do you believe so few people actually turned out to vote yesterday?
You know, I suppose the time of the year that it was, maybe the miserable day that it was, I don't know. It's also, you know, different people view different elections in different ways. And so maybe people don't view by-elections when there's a general election coming in the next couple of weeks or months as important as kind of maybe on another day. I don't know. But actually, it is kind of worrying because when you look at where some of the turnout was as low as 24%, God, that means that 75% don't think it's important. Okay, maybe you and I, because we eat, sleep and breathe this thing all day, every day, think it's really important. But to 75% of people not to think it's important, it's a bit worrying. And I know we do this after elections. We check ourselves and we think maybe, you know, electoral commissions should be there all day, every day. But I think we need to talk about how we communicate directly with the public, maybe in different ways. But anyway, it's disappointing. But then at the end of the day, you know that old adage that the people who show up are the people who make the decisions.
Well, this is the point that Eimear Higgins, your defeated candidate in Dublin Midwest, was telling journalists yesterday that there were many factors, some of them you mentioned yourself, the fact the weather was bad, the fact that it was Black Friday, the fact that the toy show was on and people might not have shown out late on the times when they would have. I mean, it could have been up to the government to choose a different day, slightly earlier in the year, slightly further away from a general election, if it wanted to stimulate more interest in these things.
Yeah, I suppose, look, it's always when you look back on these things, Gavin, you can find all of the reasons why you should have done it differently, you know. But at the end of the day, we needed to replace the four TDs that went to Europe during the summer. And the day was the day. But I think we have a bigger issue. So we've had other by-elections where, you know, turnout has only been 26% or 28%, and we scratch our heads and wonder why. And once a few weeks pass, we go on and back to normal, you know. But I think at some point, and I know the Electoral Commission is coming, I think we do need to look at how we communicate the important decisions that we make week in, week out in Leinster House and the positive impact that has on people's lives, because sometimes you only hear about the negative ones. And anyway, look,
On the talk of turnout, though, I mean, one of the few cohorts that did turn out, you mentioned that the low turnout in Fingal, 25.6%, the lowest ever, Dublin Midwest, 26.6%, the lowest ever. But yet, in those constituencies, there were some areas or some cohorts of people who were motivated to vote. The Green Party's Joe O'Brien, who was touted as a potential contender, he got his people to show up and vote. Mark Ward, who defeated the aforementioned Eimear Higgins, got his people to turn out and vote. So irrespective of whether there is a broader societal disinterest, those people were able to convince their electorates that it was worth their while going out to tick the box on their spot on the ballot paper. And it doesn't seem that any of Fine Gael's four candidates were able to do that. Why?
Yeah, I think, again, you see, you look back after elections and you learn from the positive impacts other people have. Mark Ward obviously ran an incredibly good campaign. And the reason, I suppose, the real credit and hats off to him has to go is because nobody really saw it. It was quiet on the ground, unassuming, and he really did, right up until polling day, get his people out. Whereas maybe we carried on in what is, and you know, a trusted, timed, honoured method of you go out, you canvass every single door, you leaflet drop and you tell people where your priorities are for their area, what your national priorities are. But he did run a very different campaign. Joe, I think, is benefiting from in Fingal off the back of everybody now has a green agenda and is more conscious of the fact that of the looming, you know, crisis that's in front of us, because it is going to impact every generation, not just the ones after us, but our, you know, ourselves too. So there's different things. We increased our vote in Cork. Colm did a fantastic job. And again, we increased our vote in Wexford. So look, I'm a kind of a glass half positive person. You can look at the positives in every campaign, because there's always learning. And the real positives for us, obviously, yesterday was that if yesterday was a general election, we would have had returns in those four constituencies. Now, I know it wasn't.
And there'd be other candidates in the field and things would be a bit more fragmented. So it's not quite that clear cut.
Yeah. But again, there are positives, but there are also things to learn. And I think once any political party learns from elections, then it makes you, you know, sharper and smarter, and you go on and you move on to the next one.
Well, what are the things to learn? What do you think can be learned from the fact that James Riley performed so poorly there? The fact that Eimear Higgins wasn't able to mobilise people in an area that has high renters and marked herself out as the voice for renters and wasn't able to get over the line. The fact that Verona Murphy had a slightly contentious platform, which was able to do quite well, but she still ended up coming third behind the Labour Party. The fact that Colin Burke, as you mentioned, they increased the share of the vote, but ended up finishing behind Sinn Féin. Why is all of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest with you, I know we didn't win any of the elections, but as I said to you, the positive side of our campaign is that Eimear Higgins has an incredibly bright future, and I have absolutely no doubt that she will be one of my colleagues, and a female colleague, which is probably a bonus to boot, in a short number of months. And yes, okay, our support in Fingal probably wasn't as good as it could have been yesterday, but I have to tell you, having been on the doors with him, that the response we got for James Riley was incredibly positive. He ran a really, really good campaign, had a very large team around him, and himself and his wife Dorothy should be proud of what they did over the last couple of weeks and look forward now to learning from that and capitalising it in whatever the next general election is. And as I said to you, our vote in Wexford and Cork is both up. So, you know, you can sit here and scratch your head and wonder why our government, our government party, doesn't win a by-election when most of the odds are always stacked against it. Mm. And you look at the way the transfers went in all of the constituencies yesterday. You know, an awful lot of the people on the ballot paper were not of the centre or the centre-right. They were mostly from the centre-left. And so, of course, those kind of transfers are going to go back to centre-left type of candidates. The only people that we probably would have naturally got in any great numbers transfers from were Fianna Fáil and the Labour Party, and in a lot of cases Fianna Fáil won. So anyway, look, I think our perspective is that when we sit down to look towards a general election, people make decisions when they're voting in the general election on the basis of who they want to run the country for the next 5 years. To be fair to the people that did show up yesterday or on Friday, they knew they were electing somebody for the next 5 months at max, and so maybe the priority is slightly different. But as I said to you, look, we're disappointed, of course, particularly for the people involved, not in any big Fine Gaelic way, for the people who are involved in their families who've worked really hard over the last couple of weeks. But you do have to stand back and say hats off to the people who did win.
But all of that sounds like all of that does sounds like a very positive way of the fact that Leo Varadkar did try to manage expectations. He had gone on the record before any of these four writs were moved, and he said, listen, governments don't tend to win these things, but we reckon that we can at least deliver one of the four. And when push came to shove, he delivered none of the four. And most people would consider that to be a bit of a bloody nose for the government. And I'm wondering if you think there's any instruction there from the voters who did show up that you could at least try to act on?
Well, I suppose what we need to do is to sit down and analyse the turnout, the areas that they turned out, and maybe mobilise our vote better. That's probably the biggest impact that I would have had, and I was only in two constituencies, the two Dublin ones, over the last couple of weeks. A lot of our vote didn't show up. You can see that from Fingal. So that doesn't reflect the people that will tell you that they will vote number one for Fine Gael in a general election.
Is it that they didn't show up, or that you just can't motivate them, or in fact that the vote that you think is there perhaps isn't there?
Well, look, Gavin, I only know when people do polls to tell pollsters who they're going to vote for, and we obviously also do our own private polls as to the reasons why people say they want to see Fine Gael running the country. And a lot of them are based on our economic policies, our social policies, the plans that we have to bring this country, which is finally in recovery after 10 years of a great recession, back to where it should be, which is a leading light in Europe and a leading light for certain issues in the world. That's what our ambition is for Ireland and for our Irish people. We will put those policies to the people when they're making a decision in a general election. We'll work. Our teams are probably haven't ever been as buoyed up as they have been, and genuinely have taken positives out of the last number of weeks, because I suppose we're used to going to the doors and being given out to. That certainly wasn't the case in this election. People are concerned about certain issues, as we are, and obviously we continue to strive to work towards making those particular platforms better. But in the main, people see that the country is getting to be in a better state than it was for the last 5 years. And that's a positive place for us to be. It's a positive place for us to have some of the lowest records of poverty that we have in the OECD, some of the highest rates of employment that we have in the European Union. There are lots of positives. You know, now, okay, as I said to you, I am a glass half full type of person, and I'm pretty glad I am, actually,
yeah,
but we need to look forward. Yeah, we need to look forward and look at the positives of where we see Ireland going, but also learn, right? So nobody likes to get a slap in the face, and nobody likes to lose elections, and I've lost before, and it doesn't make you feel good. But I tell you, you learn a hell of a lot more from the one you've lost, from the ones you win, and when you do lose, it makes the winning all the sweeter. So our aim is going to be to set out our platform for the next couple of months.
But that's why I wanted to ask you, what are you going to learn from this? What is the message that you're going to take? And the message that you appear to be taking is that you just need to get your voters to actually show up, which isn't much of a lesson.
Well, it is, because they didn't show up yesterday, so maybe we didn't stress the importance.
So the takeaway from this, where the government thought it was going to win one seat out of four and ended up winning none of the four, where the numbers in a very thin dole are going to get even thinner, and the lesson that Fine Gael are going to take away from this is that your get out the vote operation needs improvement.
Well, you see, I think our policy message can always be refined. There's nothing, like, there's nobody as arrogant to say that our policies are perfect, because they're certainly not. And they can be refined and modified as a response to the message that the people are giving us, right? And so you'll always, you use any election and the response that you get on the doors to tailor your policies. And we certainly will do that. But yesterday, for me, the biggest message and response to it has to be, is that if we had a general election tomorrow, we only had 26% of the people turning out, we would be talking about a country in crisis. The fact that we had four by-elections yesterday and we had a box in Cork where there wasn't even one single vote cast tells me how people see, feel or treat by-elections, and they should be nearly as important as first-order elections. And I think we've a lot of work to do to try and incentivize people, or to raise the interest of people in elections that the likes of you and I find incredibly important and instructive.
If there was
75% of the people, or 70% of the people in those four constituencies yesterday or on Friday, didn't see any value in coming out and casting their vote. Well, I think that's
You can hypothesize. We could keep hypothesizing about reasons. Yeah, maybe it's because they're not excited by any of the candidates that are on their paper. But be that as it may, you mentioned that if there were a general election tomorrow, that we'd all be concerned about the turnout if this materialised. If there were to be a general election tomorrow, do you believe that Fiona Murphy should be on the ticket?
I don't believe that that should be down to me, thankfully.
But if it were up to you, or if you had input,
I'd rather not speculate into something, into other people's constituencies, because nobody's perfect in their own constituency, and I'm certainly not, right? And so we have concerns, I suppose. I personally have concerns about maybe some of the topics that she would have expressed opinions on, because I don't share them. But that doesn't, like, I'm not her judge or her, you know, her arbitrator. The people of Wexford, the people who run our tickets and run reviews of tickets in head office, they're the people who'll be responsible for it. But
again, you surely must have concern that someone who might be soliciting that particular cohort of the electorate, which is a message that Fine Gael centrally is trying to distance itself from, and when it says that she's, you know, trying to point out all the apologies that she's made and how she's withdrawn all of that, and yet it seems that she got an awful lot of currency, nearly 5,500 votes, from people who liked the message that she originally put out, that she herself resigned from, and that must be a worry for the party.
I'll go out on a punt here, okay, and I haven't commented on this in the last number of weeks, to say the view of the media is that she deliberately sought out that kind of person or that kind of response. I don't actually subscribe to that. I think that's what I would have read in the last couple of weeks, is that she was deliberately looking to court a vote. I don't think that's
true. But then
true.
She described herself as being the victim of character assassination. A video that even your own leader said was bizarre. You don't think she was the victim of character assassination?
I don't think that's true either. So can I tell you, as a person who has been involved in a lot of media attention over maybe a 10-day period, entirely of her own making, and you don't need to remind me of what it was, right? It's not a pleasant place to be, and it's horrible, and it's nasty, and you know, but it's entirely of your own making. So you learn by these mistakes, and you move on. I hope that's what's happened, Verona. As I said to you, I don't share some of her views, but that doesn't make her a bad candidate or a bad person. But what I definitely don't think is, I don't think she went courting that particular kind of right-wing vote, because I don't believe she feels what was maybe misconstrued by her original comments, or at least I hope that's true anyway. So.
Difficult to know whether they were misconstrued when she said the similar things in three different interviews to three different outlets.
Yeah, I know, but the only defence that I can give you for that, Gavin, is that the three interviews happened on the same day before any of them were
That's
reported.
That's not the case. That's not the case. The Irish Times canvas was on the Friday, this week was on the Sunday, and then she separately spoke to the Wexford people as well. They were on three different days.
Then I'm misinformed, right? But as I said to you, I'm trying to be kind, because I have been that soldier before who has been at the centre of an own self-made, you know, campaign, for want of a better word, and it's not nice. And so, look, I don't want to. She lost her election this week. She's had probably a tough couple of weeks. I'm not going to make it any worse.
Do you agree with Charlie Flanagan when he said that the media was giving Fiona Murphy a hard time, but covering for Gemma O'Doherty, closing ranks around a fellow journalist?
Again, I don't really subscribe to that view either. I have to be honest with you. I think the media make the right decision in not giving that particular lady's views any airing. And so that's my feelings on that one.
Okay. Final question for you before I let you go. This Tuesday evening, yeah, there will be a motion of confidence, rather. We don't know whether it will be a vote of confidence, yeah, or not, in the Minister for Housing, your colleague Owen Murphy. Given that it is now 3 years into rebuilding Ireland, that the number of houses promised by that haven't been delivered, that the number of homeless people remains at a record level, almost 10,400, why should the Dáil vote confidence in Owen Murphy on Tuesday night?
Because the plan that we devised a number of years ago was a five-year plan. And whilst obviously the ambitions of everybody else is for a five-year plan to work its magic in year one, it is a slow process. There was a lot of those years building up to where we are now, which is delivering 20,000 plus new houses in this year. It needs to be 25 next year and 30 the year after and every year thereafter. The plan is working. You look at the tens of thousands of people who have new homes this year and new housing solutions that wouldn't have got it without Rebuilding Ireland.
But there's not as many homes as Rebuilding Ireland itself even forecast it would deliver.
Yeah, but it's okay.
So either the plan is deficient or the minister is deficient in delivering it.
Well, I don't believe that either is true, to be honest with you, which is why I will be voting confidence in Owen Murphy and in our Rebuilding Ireland plan on Tuesday night, along with all of my colleagues. We realise and absolutely expect that plans don't ever go 100% exactly. But our aim and our ambition is for everybody who wants to have a home will be able to have a home, and equally more importantly, able to afford a home, which is why those plans are being tweaked, arising from responses. We spoke about this 10 minutes ago. When people tell you something isn't exactly working, but if it was changed slightly this way or that way, it would work better. That's exactly what's happened. We've brought in more pieces of legislation to protect renters, to protect people to be able to buy houses, find new initiative ways to be able to build houses on land that's currently obviously locked. The LIHAF funding has been increased. We're opening up lands that are actually owned by the state to be able to have private owners and public development build on it. We are doing all of the things that internationally advice would tell you that we need to do to respond to a market with absolutely stagnant and completely broken by Fianna Fáil for the previous 12 years. And I'm sorry and like genuinely apologise that that can't happen faster than it actually is happening. But we are 3 years into a five-year plan that's going to ensure and deliver that everybody that wants a home will have a home, and most importantly, everybody will be able to afford to live in that
home.
Well,
at the end of the five-year plan, does that mean there will be no more homelessness at the end of the five-year plan?
I don't think we've ever had a situation in Ireland where there has been no more homelessness, and I don't think
nor have we ever had a strategy the likes of Rebuilding Ireland.
Yeah, well, so there's different reasons for people finding themselves in very difficult situations. And some of those reasons are never going to go away for people. And so what we need to do is to look at how we respond, both in wraparound services for people who are in, you know, the desperate situations of having different stresses in their lives, but in the vast main bulk of people who are homeless today that we use, it's people who just want to be able to live in either an affordable or a socially affordable houses. And the only way we're going to fix that is by building them. And that's exactly what's happening today. And it will happen more next year and even more the year after and every year thereafter because of Rebuilding Ireland.
Regina Doherty, Fine Gael TD for Meath East and Minister for Employment Affairs and Social Protection. Thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.